everybody. Welcome back to episode number 61 of the Paid Search Podcast. Celebrated Memorial Day with the hashtag MER. 1 mile run, 100 pull-ups, 200 push-ups, 300 squats, 1 mile run. Oh, Chris Schaefer, how's it going, buddy?
Just seriously read my Twitter across?
I did not think you were going to admit to it, but Chris, you got to mix it up here. Thank you for coming professional. Thank you for coming with that red face and that blue shirt. That you look like an American flag right now. White undershirt and that red face.
How's it going, Chris? Welcome back. You're gonna publicly just read it out. Okay. Well,
hey Chris, let's just put it this way: our love is like a toaster. Check your Twitter feed, Chris. How's it going, buddy? The man with the tightest jean shorts. I didn't bring it up on the last episode, but Chris, you took off the jean shorts today. You're dressed like a professional. You got the blue shirt. What are you wearing down low beneath? You got some nice chinos on, some nice slacks.
Yeah, very nice. Very nice pants, of course. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, everybody wears nice pants for podcasting. That's the way it works.
So today, Chris, we're going to talk about, as promised, episode 61, display, even though this is paid search. Going to talk about display, but before that, I wanted to read a iTunes review, and I appreciate it. It's from BlyGuy24, great name there. He gave us 5 stars. Not going to read all of it because it's super long, and we appreciate that, but I just want to read the gist of it. I've been using AdWords on and off for my business for 10-plus years, but I've never quite gotten my AdWords account to perform the way I need it to. I'm only about 6 to 7 episodes in right now, but I can tell you that this podcast is already having lasting, real, positive effects on my business. And then he goes on to say that his strategy has been to throw stuff against the wall, see what sticks, obviously not the best way. He's really a self-taught person, read a lot of books, even got certified with the Google Partners Test. But he says that just our first 6 to 7 episodes, Chris, have been better than all that. And that's what we're aiming for here, to give a lot of good education about AdWords away. So that review feels great. And Chris, I know that's exactly what you're looking for.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Thanks for the review. And, you know, I'm especially glad to hear personal stories like that. I mean, that's what we hear, and that's what I love to hear. And it's really cool to hear that week after week from people from this just little small project we're doing. You know, I just heard from a fan down in Australia that listens on his drive to work, and you know, it's pretty cool. My voice,
Chris, it is cool. We got listeners all over the planet, all over the United States, and you know, our biggest base in terms of city, most downloads per city, is actually Tokyo. So whoever you are out in Tokyo, or whoever you guys are, thank you for listening. So Chris, let's get into today's episode. Let's kind of talk about what prompted this episode, which is about setting up a display campaign for awareness. We're going to talk about how you do that and what the kind of goals of awareness are. But why don't you talk about why we're doing this as an episode?
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously we haven't given the best props to display. Jason and I are all about lead generation. But we got an email from David, who is also a podcaster out there, a YouTube guy. He is part of the X1 Bros, which is a positive gaming community, and they do some fun videos of Xbox One videos and, you know, gameplay and stuff like that, and cool stuff. I mean, I appreciate gamers. I'm one myself, you know. PC for life. But basically, the idea here is David wanted to know, how can I create a display campaign when I'm not necessarily interested in lead generation, but I just want awareness? How would I build a campaign for a podcast to display ads and bring awareness to people that might be interested in a podcast? Which, he's not selling anything. He just wants more listeners and more subscribers and a bigger audience. So that's the idea here, Jason. We're gonna have to put our lead generation hats over to the side for a little bit, and we're gonna talk about traffic, clicks, you know, still going to talk about trying to get quality traffic and quality clicks coming to your site, but not necessarily worth David to pay $3-4 for someone to come to his site for a podcast. You know, David's going to want to pay, you know, 20 cents, 30 cents, maybe, you know, maybe 80 cents, something like that for this kind of traffic.
Yeah, it's not all bad with display, because you do get a lot of super, super cheap clicks here. So let's kind of take his example, Chris, a gaming podcast, and let's go through kind of how you and I would approach it in an AdWords display campaign. For the newer listeners, Chris, for the people who don't really know, can you just, before we get into the methods of targeting, talk about like what the display network is, why we're even talking about this on the Search podcast? You know, where do these ads show up, and what does it have to do with Google?
Yeah, good question. So basically, the display network is the rest of the internet, right? You go to google.com, you see text ads. And everybody's familiar with that. That's the search ads. The display network are all the other ads that you see, some of the ads that you see on other websites. You go looking on a blog, you go on a news site, anywhere you see these little images that might be selling you a certain product or a service or different things like that. You see them all the time. Here's the thing, Jason. Yep. Of all the listeners, you can all ask yourself the same question. How often do I click on those ads? Jason, how often do you click? And then as follow-up, how often do you actually take action on any display ads that you see?
You know, I am a very educated internet user on some sites more than other. And what I would say is I don't really click on them that often because I know what they are. But I am not one of those people who never clicks on them. My clicks usually come from curiosity. You know, people know, or Google knows, that I'm in the search engine marketing space. I go to other search engine marketing kinds of websites. They put me in that audience. People target that audience. And so I see a lot of ads that honestly are interesting to me. What's this agency doing? I was on their website yesterday. They're retargeting to me. Let me check out their landing page. So I do click a little bit, but I also am affected, Chris, by branding and display when I see ads all the time. One AdWords agency comes to mind. I don't want to kind of give them a shout out and let them know how much I think of them, but there is one who, you know, really does the display thing and the remarketing. And I don't know what they're doing to everyone else's browsers, but I see their ads all the time and their professional ads. And in my mind, that builds them up for me as, you know, the biggest AdWords agency and someone I look up to. So they do have an effect, but I'm not clicking on them that often.
Yeah. Yeah, and Jason, I don't think for the majority of advertisers it's necessarily about trying to get you or me or any other visitor to click on them all the time. Okay, the right. Difference is that we want people to see, and if their interest is spiked, you said it. If your interest is spiked, then go ahead and click. But the point of display is not necessarily to get every single person that sees an ad to click on it. You want to get awareness, and I think it works for that purpose, but honestly, very few businesses come to me and say, Chris, we need more traffic. Chris, we want to drive awareness. You know, that's usually not the type of conversations I have. It's usually, Chris, we need more sales. You know, that's what it's usually about.
Well, you know, just we'll get into this when we talk about remarketing a little bit, but just from my own experience advertising my business, Chris, I do run remarketing ads. We'll talk about this in a minute, but I do run them for leads. At the same time, as the business owner, I like racking up tens of thousands of impressions every month for a very small amount of money. And it kind of gives me peace of mind that, hey, these impressions, maybe they won't pay off this month. They won't pay off with a direct lead today. But I like the idea of my logo, my message being seen potentially a million or more times during the year for a very small amount of money. I think it's a good, it's kind of like a bet. I don't know it's going to work for sure. Maybe I can't measure it when it does work, but I like that I'm crossing that mark, crossing that check mark. So the display network, the reason it exists is because it used to be very hard to advertise on a website. You had to meet with advertisers, send the code back and forth and all that. Google came along, said, let's bring some standardization to this. And now all a website publisher, whether you're a small little blog or the New York Times, all they have to do is post a little AdSense code on their website, Chris, and Google will automatically fill in their ad areas with these display ads that people on the AdWords side put in AdWords. So that's what it has to do with Google. Now, if David was coming to us and said, hey, get me awareness for my gaming podcast, we would go over these following options, Chris. It's all about targeting different audiences. So you don't just want to throw out display ads on the internet and let them show up anywhere, like one would say a billboard. You want to be targeted and get in front of a targeted audience. So the first kind of targeting you can do, Chris, are placements. I love the idea of placements. They're basically like an individual billboard. Instead of showing up on the highway where everyone sees you, you show up on one individual website or a number of websites that you choose to directly target. So say I'm in a gaming podcast. I can target blogs, big popular blogs that have to do with video games, video game news websites. I can target those individual websites that only gamers visit, really, and show them ads, display ads for my gaming podcast. So if I was talking to David about the placement options, I would say, hey, David, who are the biggest gaming news websites? Who are the biggest gaming blogs? What are the websites you go to over and over every month to learn about gaming and stay in touch with that community? Then I'd find them in the display planner, Chris, which is similar to the keyword planner, but it's for display campaigns. I'd find those individual websites. A lot of them give you multiple targeting options, like, hey, target our homepage. Hey, target our page about Xbox games. Target our page about PlayStation games, whatever. And we pick out different targeting on those websites. Those individual websites is we get in front of that gaming audience targeting those individual websites. That's placements. So that's one kind of targeting, Chris. Maybe the most popular kind, Chris, is keyword contextual.
Yeah.
So why don't you break that one down and also in a gaming podcast context?
Yeah. So Jason described placements. Personally, I'm not a big fan because my idea is this. I don't know my audience as well as my audience can tell me information about themselves that I wouldn't already know. So I don't necessarily like to choose placements unless clients specifically request certain ones. The bulk of my spend comes from these other targeting methods. Keyword targeting is basically this. You take a group of 50 or less keywords, you know, maybe try and shoot for 30, 40, something like that, and put them into an ad group. Okay. Now this is saying quite a bit. To come up with 40 or 50 keywords, max, I should say, 50 keywords per ad group is a lot. Okay, that's a lot of keywords. So you have to be pretty broad in your scope. You don't want to micromanage, you know, one tiny ad group with a very finite focus. This is more of a general idea. So for gaming, one idea might be specific types of games. Okay, RPG or first-person shooter or a certain brand. I know you're dying with boredom here, ooh, but I'm trying to be useful, you know. I'm giving people more than 5 minutes of information, okay?
Right.
Inside joke there. But basically, the idea is you want to pick themes and topics and focus each ad group on that. And the keyword contextual focus is basically that. Choose, you know, as many or as few as you want. You can have three topics, four topics, five topics. Just remember, you need to generate enough keywords for Google to get an idea of what that theme is about, because they take all of those keywords, smash them together, and make a keyword sandwich that is just a certain flavor. It's a certain it's assigned a specific ID that matches these types of pages. So don't get it confused with search. You can't put, you know, Xbox and try and show up everywhere that shows Xbox. It's matched into a specific category of pages that fit within that Xbox category. You don't match keyword to keyword. You match keyword to target to website. So there's kind of a disconnect there. That's the idea behind the keyword targeting.
Keyword contextual, it's so similar to search on the face level because you're adding in keywords. But I really think if you're going to go down that keyword contextual road, you got to put in your time either talking to someone like Chris who's got a lot of experience with it or reading a bunch of articles from Google about it, because it sounds like it's a lot different, Chris. And one way I know it's different is you don't work with match types. Everything is just entered in without match type characters, just all broad match. I believe I've been told by Google that there's no such thing as negative keywords in keyword contextual. And so just so I'm clear, Chris, you're saying that you put in similar keywords in an ad group and then Google matches that ad group combination, whatever they think the ad group is like, with pages that they think talk about that those kinds of keywords.
Exactly. Yep.
Okay. That's it. Very, very interesting. So maybe the times when I've run display and only put in one or two keywords, I wasn't doing a good enough job telling Google where I want to show up, and that's why my traffic wasn't good enough. So that's interesting. So the next way you can target people, Chris, here is with an in-market audience. So Google knows, based on different searches we do, based on different websites we visit, what we are in the market for. So if I'm doing a bunch of Google searches about engagement rings or wedding venues or anything like that, Google's going to flag me as in the market for, say, a wedding planner, or in the market for engagement rings. And then you can target different markets, different groups of audiences who are in the market for one specific kind of service or product. I would tell David there's probably not an in the market off the top of my head for video games. That's more of an affinity thing, which we'll talk about here in a second, Chris. But I really like the in-the-market idea. And now it's obviously harder to execute that and get leads from it, Chris. But I often think that if you can get in the market for if you can target people in the market for your product or service, maybe combine it with a demographic or keyword contextual or something like that, you might have a really good chance at producing some really interested leads, or at least get some really good awareness. So I like in the market, Chris. Why don't you tell us about in the market's kind of sister audience targeting, affinity? And I think that would be a really good one for David.
Yeah, I think, David, for if you're running a display campaign for a podcast, personally, I don't think in market would be a very good choice for you, because in market is more display's version of lead generation focused. You know, they're in market.
That's why I like it.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, that's why, yeah, that's why Jason likes it, because we're all about the lead generation focus. But we have to take off our lead gen hat and think about, you know, what are we trying to accomplish? And affinity, I think, works better for that purpose because of this. Affinity is a label of what type of
person
this is. Okay. So if someone asks, you know, what are you into? There's a long list of cooking enthusiasts, business travelers, beauty mavens, book lovers, and gamers. There's one just for gamers. You know, in the YouTube world, this is a huge. I mean, the gaming industry is huge nowadays. So this is perfect. And here's how it works. If we're not making it clear, I wanted to describe exactly how this would build out. You would not put your keywords and your affinity and your in-market stuff all in the same ad group. Break these out into different ad groups because these are different targeting methods. You would have ad group A that might be a set of keywords that you want to try. Xbox gamers, Xbox tips, Xbox videos, Xbox live streaming, stuff like that. Okay. Then you have another ad group that might be affinity, and you just add the gamers affinity group to that and let that roll in its own ad group. So that's the idea here. I think affinity could work really well if you're not necessarily focused on lead gen and you just really want to get the message out there to a certain type of person.
Right.
It works really well.
Yep, and if you're a big advertiser like McDonald's, there's an affinity audience for fast food enthusiasts. And if you're sitting there managing the McDonald's AdWords campaigns, that's really – You got to at least try that audience because it's speaking directly to what they're selling. So the next, before we talk about remarketing, Chris, let's just go over the, I guess, the redheaded stepchild of all this, topics. I didn't even list it there. It's something I never really target. Do you target topics, and can you explain to everyone what that is?
Yeah, I do use topics.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yeah, I think they work well. So basically, topics are this. This is essentially the content on the page that you're trying to reproduce through keyword matching. Okay, so it lets you place your ads on multiple display network pages that have related content to the topics that you added. Okay, so here's the thing: there are you can either do this with a bunch of keyword matching and try and reproduce through a variety of keywords, automotive industry topics or gaming topics or dentistry school or something like dentist school, I should say. Or you could go in here and manually add these as topics. Okay, so here's what I might suggest for someone to do. Try a set of keywords, you know, add a set of 50 keywords that are around a specific topic.
In one ad group?
In one ad group. Go and build another ad group of topics that match what you were shooting for. Okay, if you're trying to build a campaign about audio enthusiasts, you know, build a campaign around those audio enthusiasts and then go and grab a topic about that and see how those work. What, does one perform differently than the other? How do they compare? And maybe one performs better, and that's what you go after. So the idea here is to use the different targeting methods. Some of them kind of overlap, but they may perform differently.
Now, Chris, topics have to do with that actual page that Google is classifying one page's content in a topic. I'm double checking this here as we speak, but refresh my memory if you know. When you add keywords, you add them based on what's in your head. Now, when you add topics, are you coming up with topics yourself, or are you selecting a predefined list like you do with in-market audiences?
It's a predefined list of a lot of topics.
A lot, okay.
There are tons of topics. I would guess, you know, at least 500 topics, and they range from science to shopping to pets to news to online communities, all kinds of stuff. So I like it because sometimes – you know, my brain's only so creative, and I can't come up with you know, a lot of different topics that I might want to try. And this is a good way to, you know, brainstorm some.
Yeah, I appreciate that explanation, Chris, because I've always struggled with the difference between keyword contextual and topics. They've always seemed like the same thing to me, but people don't talk about them like they're the same thing. But you just broke it down in a very good way for me here, where a clear way where they are the same thing basically, and it's just going about it in a different way.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's interesting. So the final audience targeting here is your demographics. We now have this on search, which we've talked a lot about. And for someone like a gamer, David, maybe the listeners to your podcast, I'm guessing, are super attractive females 18 to 24.
right.
Wait, maybe not. Maybe they're pimply 18-year-old boys.
There you go.
Is ding, your ding. Most audience.
Yeah.
So,
except for this 36-year-old that also likes... you know,
those pimply 36-year-olds. So there's no option for pimply 18-year-olds, but you can select men, women, and then different age groups, 18 to 24, 25 to 34, and on up. So for you, David, I'm guessing most of your audience probably 18 to 45 male, and you can target that demo. Or if you have a different demo, or if you want to expand awareness to a new demo, you can target a different demo. Now, Chris, let me ask you a question here. We talked about all the different display targeting methods on their own, but you do have the option to mix and match these. Is that correct?
Yeah. And
now what I hear from the tone of your voice, for me, someone who doesn't work with display a lot, and I think less than you, I better stop myself. There's also remarketing. For awareness, David, that's probably not the best option because people are already aware. They've been to your website.
Yeah.
But you can target remarketing on the display network, and I think I'll tease that at the end of the show here, Chris. But let me get back to mixing the audiences. To me, as someone who doesn't use display that much, to me, that seems like the silver bullet. Like, that seems really cool. Only targeting this demographic when they're viewing pages about this topic, when they're in that affinity audience, that seems like you can really drill down and get a better audience in any of them on their own. You're skeptical. Tell me why you're skeptical.
Skeptical.
Here's what had happened. I said skeptical.
Okay, so here's the thing. I just don't spend enough time, and I don't have enough faith in the display network to generate leads to be able to say, oh, that's working, and let's really define it. You know, if you give me a search campaign, I can break that down and get a fine-tooth comb.
How about I give you money until you do your job, Chris?
I don't. No, you give me money, and I'm going to put you on search.
I know.
You give me money, I'm going to
put you
on
search. Same here.
So I don't – until I get a client that says we're generating, you know, $10,000 a month in revenue from a display campaign, I need you to go in there and refine the audience and try and improve what we're getting. Until I get something like that, I'm never really going to jump into whole mixing of the audiences. Usually as far as I go is I have different ad groups and I give different bids to those ad groups based on the performance. The better
so you
ones get
are
more, the worst ones get less.
You're aware your display campaigns are kind of more from people like with people with David's goals where, hey, I know display is really tough for leads. I'm not asking you or paying you to figure that out, Chris, and maybe it's not even something we can figure it out, but I just want to put a little bit of my budget into some awareness. And then you're picking these higher level targeting methods
yeah.
to get that awareness.
I mean,
okay.
Honestly, I mean, for our listeners, the people who are listening here, I mean, I don't think that mixing and matching is the level that many of you are at this point. My suggestion is you're going to do a whole lot better if you just break them up by ad group and change your bids to push some, put some at $3 bids, others at $1 bid, others at 50 cent bids, and push right. the ones that you think are performing better. You like the results. You see the analytics, and you see that these people are bouncing less. Bid more for right. them. I think that's about as complicated as I would take it at this point.
Yeah, and Chris, I'm going to tease something a little later. I am on that mission. To find the silver bullet for display and get the lead gen going from display. Obviously, not there yet in some regards, but I want to go on that mission and figure out, you know, if it's possible. Because here's why. The clicks are so cheap and there's so much volume that you can really break things down and run nice experiments. But save that for a later day. Now, Chris, let's just close up here, briefly going on some tips with display for people like David running for awareness. And then also we will look at ways you can judge whether your branding campaign has success or not. So a couple tips here, Chris. I'm just going to rifle through these.
Do it, yeah.
And then we'll talk about success here at the end. So some other tips for people like David looking for awareness. Don't forget, YouTube is owned by Google. YouTube is, you could say, part of the display network. You can run YouTube ads through the same AdWords account that you run display. So all the, check me if I'm wrong here, Chris, all the targeting methods we just talked about are available on YouTube. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
But without the video, but yes.
My idea is that you can run video ads to different keyword contextual, different in the market, different affinity.
Oh.
I'm fairly certain.
Well, I mean, you have to have the video media to go along with it, but...
Right. That's what I'm saying. Sorry, I wasn't clear on that. I was saying if you have a video, if you've chopped up pieces of your podcast, you can run those as video ads and target the same kinds of audiences.
Correct.
Yep. And you can also do it with display ads on those YouTube pages. So, Chris, the next one we talked about last episode, AdSense for mobileapps.com, placement exclusion on display. That's all we'll say about it for now, but that's a must-do on display. Couple more things here, Chris. Bidding. Your bid levels, I found on display, make huge differences in the amount of traffic you can get. We have a search campaign that costs per click $7, and I change from $7 to $6, maybe I won't see that much change in traffic. But you're running a display campaign, and you change it from $3 to $6.
Oh, man.
Yeah, you might see massive amounts of increases in impressions
just
and clicks.
A quick note about that. In search, you can get quality score, and quality score can make a big difference. You might pay $1, but the guy below you might be paying $4. In display, quality score doesn't play as much of a factor, so a lot of it comes down to bidding. I mean, it's just, you know, some people are willing to bid more, and you're going to get more. It's going to shoot up that much more quickly when you bid higher,
right.
Because it's there's not as much of a quality score factor as there is in search. So, go ahead.
Great point. Next one, use the display planner for ideas. You can find all different topics, keywords, affinity audiences, in-market audiences. I love using that display planner, Chris. I found a lot of good ideas from there. And then the last thing is that, unlike in search, sometimes if you have a $1,000, $1,500 a month budget, in display, that same budget can rack up multiple times of the impressions. So you're getting thousands and thousands of impressions. Test a bunch of different ad copy, test a bunch of different images. You really do have a lot of data to work with and see the differences in click-through rates and conversion rates. Chris, now let's talk about what does success look like with the branding campaign. What would you tell David if he goes, okay, Chris, I've been running for a month. How do I know if this is working?
Yeah, I'll run through these real quick. So David and whoever else is following David's advice here, or our advice to David, here it is. Okay, so here's how you're going to judge the success of what you've just built. Okay, number one, impressions. Impressions are valuable because they don't cost anything. And if you're going for awareness, you just got something for nothing. Okay, so thousands and millions of impressions are great. I think it could be a goal that could be worth something, and it's certainly something that Pepsi and Nike and everybody.
Chris, can
I
butt in here because I can see people pushing back? What does an impression do for me? What I would tell them, a great idea I always use and have used for a long time. Do something with your ad copy on a display ad that can get you some value without them clicking to your website. Show them the domain of your podcast. Tell them to subscribe to your podcast on iTunes. Tell them what your podcast is about. So then maybe they don't click on the ad, but they see the impressions. Then maybe a week later they go to the iTunes and they search for your podcast in iTunes. So you don't get the click, but you can get some kind of value. A lot of people do this with the phone number in display ads.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. So next. Of course, we're going to pay for this next one, but clicks, okay? The idea here is you get clicks for a cheaper price than search. The reason David wants to go with display is because he doesn't want to pay $4 or $5, $3 for a click. And that's search is very expensive for that reason because you're competing against other people. There are millions and millions of possibilities for display. You can get clicks for 50 cents, $1, $2, something like that, whatever you're willing to pay. So the idea is that clicks cost less. That's a great success point of the display network. We already talked about it once. Number three here is Google Analytics. Time spent on site, bounce rate, new visitor percentage is somewhat important. You want to make sure you're not driving the same people to the site, so you want lots of new visitors, and pages per visit. These are all important factors, and if you see that you have a moderately high bounce rate, I think is good for the display network.
75%, 85%.
Yeah, I mean, I
not bad.
I would be great with an 80% bounce rate from the display network because honestly, yep. I don't see it. 95%, 90% is usually what I get. If not, 99% bounce rate. So right. You want the lower the better. The idea here is to try and at least engage the people a little bit. Okay, you don't have to make them purchase your product or immediately subscribe, but at least they came to your site and saw it. That's the goal here.
Right.
Number four, you want to track the search volume on your brand. Possibly you get more people that are searching for you. A more practical way to measure this might be you end up getting followers. You start getting impressions and clicks. You start getting more followers on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram.
Or podcast downloads.
Podcast. Yeah, exactly. So these may not be things that you can measure in AdWords, but these are things that you might be able to measure outside of AdWords, and you can see an impression. Turn the campaign on, monitor how fast things grow, and turn it off and see how that changes. So that's another valuable point. And then, of course, Jason, as you say, the unicorn, which means the elusive, mystical beast that we don't really think you're going to find, but always the possibility of getting a conversion from the display network. Okay?
Yep.
I would not put this anywhere near the kind of thing that you want to hinge the success of your campaign on, because it's not going to happen a lot. You might get 0.1%, 0.01% conversion rates. So that's why it's the last thing we mentioned. Don't hinge everything on conversions. It's not what display is necessarily about.
Right, Chris. So, guys, that's it. We hope we've really, really broken down the display targeting options here, things to look out for, things to go for. And, David, we hope we thoroughly answered your question here. So, little housekeeping, guys. We get a lot of questions from you. We're both very busy and successful, and we can't always email back immediately. But we are banking those questions. And coming up in the next few weeks, we're going to do our first Q&A episode. The whole episode will be answering your guys' questions. So anytime you want to, go to paidsearchpodcast.com, the contact page, send us your question. We bank them. And then every couple months here, Chris, we're going to do a Q&A episode and listen to those. And your question should be answered on there. Finally, Chris, for people who just listen to the podcast, we do have a YouTube channel. We're up to 99 subscribers. I think that's pretty cool. Not too far away from 500 or 1,000 one day, maybe. So we have a YouTube channel. You can find it on our website, paidsearchpodcast.com. And we also do some bonus content there, Chris. We call it the after show sometimes. I have a mini unicorn in my own business, Chris. I am running a display campaign. I am getting leads. It is more cost effective than search. And I would like to tell you about it. If you're interested, on an after show, maybe we can record today, maybe another day. But I think that content's going to be on there soon. With that said, Chris, do you have anything to tell these fine people?
Thanks for listening. Thank you for your reviews. Even if they're negative, we appreciate it. We want to improve and make this valuable to you guys, so we are not wasting your time and you're not wasting ours. Thanks for listening.
Yes.
Happy summer. Easter. Happy Easter. Happy
Easter
summer.
2018. Happy Easter 2018, guys. We're going to be here.
Called it first.
Nonstop.
First,
called it first.
First one to say Happy Easter 2018. All right. Thanks, guys.